you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you. From Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That was Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, May 13th, 2024. Dear moms, we sure hope and pray you got to celebrate Mother's Day yesterday, that friends and family members and maybe neighbors loved on you and appreciated all the hard work and the unique role you have in the lives of so many of us. Now, realizing that some of you aren't biological moms, but you mother maybe neighborhood kids or children at church or have that nurturing role that is so needed, and we just thank you all. And in light of our great appreciation for moms, we're going to continue Mother's Day with 2 days. Actually, it's a message that I'm going to break into today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. It's hosted by Ann Graham Lotz, daughter of Billy Graham, and Ann's daughter, Rachel Ruth Wright, and they're going to talk about the Daniel Prayer, mothering, and the influence that moms can have on the family, and for that matter, impacting the world. But first, some updates before I begin this 2-day special. Though many of you in the Decatur area might not be hearing this broadcast, if you are, maybe you're tuning in our 89.7 FM out of Springfield, WLUJ, or maybe you're on the fringe and you can pick up our 102.5 FM broadcasting out of the Fisher-Foosland area. But we're working very, very hard behind the scenes, talking with a number of engineers, tower companies, radio stations, individuals, trying to find a new location so we can broadcast our 100.1 FM Decatur station, get it back on the air. We've actually been working on this for a few months, and there's various limitations on where we can locate and the equipment and methods to receive the signal and to broadcast it from Decatur. But Dave Fitch, our director of development's working really hard behind the scenes. In fact, we've been working with Bruce Munsterman with KHCB out of Texas. That network, he oversees over 70 stations. And so he and his engineers have been given some advice, along with a host of others that we've been contacting and following up with. But we'd appreciate your prayers as we continue to look at options and try to get 100.1 FM back on the air. I did a lot of traveling this weekend, was at various tower locations, including Fisher-Foosland, Bloomington, Colchester, Champaign-Urbana, Springfield, Decatur. Without our engineer, I've had to do a lot of follow-up site visits, checking out equipment, recording the various needs and upgrades that we have to put into place in the coming days. And so we appreciate your prayers on behalf of this radio ministry, because we do desire to proclaim that good news message of Jesus 24 hours a day, 365 days a year on all 19 of our frequencies. All right, the special broadcast I'm breaking into today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, as mentioned, is hosted by Ann Graham Lotz and her daughter, Rachel Ruth Wright. They're going to talk about the influence of Ruth Bell Graham, Ann's mother and Rachel's grandmother, the influence this mom had in their lives, along with the power of the Daniel Prayer, prayer that moves the heavens. Here's how the special broadcast begins, and it'll be broken into two parts and aired today and on tomorrow, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
This is Anne Graham Lotz. What if this Mother's Day, every mother in America made a commitment to daily pray for their children? What if every grandmother in America made a commitment to pray for her grandchildren? And what if when we prayed for our children and grandchildren, we didn't just pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep" kind of prayers, but we prayed the Daniel Prayer, a prayer that moves heaven and changes nations.
Welcome to this Mother's Day special with Bible teacher and author Anne Graham Lotz. And joining Anne is her youngest daughter, Rachel Ruth Wright, as mother and daughter share in not only the memories of a faithful praying mother and grandmother, Ruth Bell Graham, but also encourage all mothers and grandmothers to be women of the Word and women of prayer.
Being a mother is one of the hardest, most challenging, most rewarding, most discouraging, most thrilling, most depressing, most joy-filled, one of the most challenging positions you can hold. And being a mother, more than any other thing, has taught me that I need God. And I think it's put me on my knees more often than any other particular thing in my life. I'm so thankful that God placed me in a family where I had a godly heritage. And Psalm 16:6, David said that my lines have fallen in pleasant places. Lo, I have a goodly heritage. And as I look back into my heritage, I had grandparents who knew how to pray and who prayed for their children and grandchildren. I had a mother and father who prayed for their children and their grandchildren. So I actually know that my life today is an answer to my mother's prayers, my grandmother's prayers, and the prayers of those who've gone before me.
Anne Graham Lotz, as she reflects on her mother, Ruth Bell Graham.
One of my earliest memories was of my mother on her knees in prayer in the house that we lived in, which we now call my father's house in Montreat, North Carolina. My bedroom was on the second floor over the bedroom of my mother's bedroom, which was on the first floor. So it didn't matter what time I got up in the morning. If I got up very early in order to study for a test for school, I would look out my window and I could see the lights from my mother's room reflected on the trees outside my window, and I knew she was on her knees in prayer. And at night when I went to bed, it didn't matter what time I went to bed, if I slipped downstairs and wanted to talk to mother, you know, just to say goodnight or something, I would find her on her knees in prayer. And when I did, I knew not to stick around because she would not disturb her prayer time. She stayed on her knees until she finished, and it could be a couple of hours. And I knew firsthand that my mother was a woman of prayer. I never saw my mother lose her temper. Isn't that amazing? With five children, one of which was Franklin, who would give anybody fits, but my mother never lost her temper. She had patience, she had joy, she had strength, and I know it came from her relationship with God that she developed through daily prayer and Bible reading. And I know I'm an answer to her prayers. One of her verses that she put inside a bracelet that my daddy had made for her, on the inside was a Bible verse that was Psalm 119:90, that God is faithful to every generation. And she claimed God's faithfulness not only to her generation, she had seen it in the generation before her, and she claimed it for my generation and even for my grandchildren. And so I have the joy of knowing that my mother was someone who prayed daily for me, and she prayed daily for my children. God was gracious and gave me three children, and the youngest of which is Rachel Ruth, and she's joining me in this conversation on Mother's Day. I'm just so glad to welcome her into this conversation. I want to tell you something about her before I pull her in. But Rachel Ruth was my third child. She has three daughters herself. They're involved in every kind of sport. They play soccer. They play tennis. They're on the track team. They play basketball. And she herself is a JV tennis coach. Once a month, she's responsible for the missions chapel in her school. Twice a day, on that day when she has chapel, she does two services. She has 300 to 400 children in each service, and she's igniting the hearts of these little children to want to serve the Lord, to be missionaries in the world that's right between their own two feet. And it's thrilling to see the little lives changing as she brings them to the cross, and they put their faith in Jesus, and then they have that deep desire to go out and serve Him. So she does that. Then she teaches a Bible study in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which is the home of the University of North Carolina. It's hosted by the women's basketball coach, who's a Hall of Fame coach, Sylvia Hatchell. And Sylvia has pulled in some of her friends and the professors at Carolina, athletes, people from the medical community, some of her donors. But anyway, about 75 women that gather at Keenan Stadium in one of the upstairs rooms overlooking the stadium, and Rachel Ruth teaches them every week from God's Word. But she also is the chairman of my prayer team. So I'm just so thankful to welcome her into this conversation and say that it's a joy for me to have her. And it's by God's grace that I have a daughter who's as precious as this and as godly, that God is using in such a wonderful way. Rachel Ruth, welcome to this conversation. And I'd like to know how you view prayer as a mother. What prayer means to you?
Well, that is extremely humbling just to hear you describe what I've been living out. And I can tell you right now, the thing that comes to my mind is it's because of the heritage that I've been given. And if I didn't see my grandmother live out the life that she lived, or see you live out the life that you lived, I don't think I would be doing what I'm doing today. And I see a genuine love for Jesus in your life. I saw it in Tete's life. And I think that's the difference maker when a parent or a grandparent is actually really living out what they're saying and what the Bible says.
My children called my mother Tete because that was mother's name for herself. It's Chinese for old lady, but it's a respectful term.
Rachel Ruth Wright remembers her grandmother Tete and the influence she had on her prayer life.
I remember many stories of her praying, but prayer is a huge part of my life. And I feel like from difficulties that I've gone through and hard things that I've been through, it's drawn me to pray, because you become so desperate that you get on your knees, whether it was in ninth grade, and just telling the Lord, I can't do this. I want to be a strong Christian, not a wimpy Christian. And then to see the Lord kind of bring hardship in my life to make me stronger. But it developed a prayer life in my life because things were so hard. And so many times when you're desperate and when you're going through struggles, you do cry out to the Lord. And so I think He brings those into your life to do that. But it's taught me to pray and pray and pray. And so it's something that I've wanted to pass on to my girls. And one thing that I think the Lord has done with me, because I have such a big imagination and I think I can kind of picture things and see things. And so I feel like the Lord will bring somebody's face to my mind or somebody's name to my mind. And I'll begin to pray for that person. And I know that God, the Holy Spirit, has placed that person in my mind. And I've tried to be very faithful to pray every single time somebody comes into my mind. The Holy Spirit can put those thoughts into your mind to just be faithful to pray. I pray because Jesus becomes your best friend and you just want to talk to Him. You want to tell Him what's going on. You want to tell Him why you're sad today, or why you're discouraged, or why you're joyful.
You know, I think it's so special. You've pinpointed a couple of very basic lessons, but sometimes lessons that people miss. One is that prayer should be Spirit-led.
Yeah.
And I think we can get on our knees and go through our shopping list. You know, we can ask Him for anything we want. He loves for us to come and bring our requests. But He has things He wants to put on our hearts to pray for. And that's the Daniel prayer. The Daniel prayer was Daniel taking what was on God's heart, the release of his people from captivity, and praying that back to God. So the fact that you're so sensitive, and I've seen that in you, you're much more faithful to pray for things like that than I've been. And it's been very convicting, because I see you when God brings somebody to your mind, you're so faithful to right then pray for the person. And it's exciting to me when we get to heaven to find out what God did in response to your prayers. I know heaven was moved. I know God was responding because He put that on your heart to pray. So I think that's one thing you pointed out. The other thing that is something we sometimes miss, that one of the blessings of prayer is to develop that personal relationship with the Lord. It's not just to get things from Him. It's not just to tick off the fact that today we prayed and we worshiped and we interceded and we confessed. It's while we're talking to Him, while we're praying, led by His Spirit, that we develop that close, personal, intimate relationship that you and I know. You know, as we reflect back on this past year, my husband of 49 years, he moved to heaven last August, and it was very sudden. It was unexpected in many, many ways. The thing that carried me through, and the thing that I think carried all of us through, actually, was our personal relationship with the Lord. If I waited until something like that happened to then suddenly turn to God and try to develop a relationship and handle all that shock and horror and grief at the same time, I would have gone under, I know. And so my relationship with God is stronger today than I think it was before my husband moved because of what you also referred to, the desperation. You know, you're so aware that you need God. And that also is the Daniel prayer, because Daniel was desperate. He knew if God didn't answer his prayer to release his people from captivity, they wouldn't be released. That kind of desperation, it can bear enormous fruit when it's based on a personal relationship with God that you've been developing and been enjoying for quite some time. You don't wait till the crisis hits before you call on him. So it's interesting that sometimes those desperate situations create in us. In fact, it was in our devotional reading this morning that deep down in the earth there is fire, and that produces the coal, and the coal produces the diamonds. And it's the same thing true in our lives. The deep pain, the grief, the fire that sometimes enters deep down in our souls can create that which becomes very precious in God's sight and something beautiful for others to behold.
You're listening to a Mother's Day special with Bible teacher and author Ann Graham Lotz and her youngest daughter, Rachel Ruth Wright.
I remember we were actually doing some more planning for the wedding, and we had gone up to stay at her house, and I remember being in tears and crying a little bit, and Teta came down the hall, and she knew that because we had talked earlier about it, and just a little worried, a little nervous about getting married. And Teta walks into the room, and she comes over, and she just puts something in my lap, and I look at it, and she had written out one of her poems, and it was about marriage, and she handed it to me, and she said, "I wanted to give this to you," and then she prayed with me, and she talked with me about how we just need to trust the Lord in every situation, that our husbands don't become God to us, but we need to rely on God to help us with our husbands. And she did such a good job of that. She was such a beautiful example. She just dove into her family, loved her Bible, loved studying the Word, was always in prayer. In fact, at the end of her life, when she couldn't move around that much, I'll never forget, she said, "Great Truth," she said, "I'm like a mouse on a glue board." And she had many, literally, mice on glue boards around her house. And so I got the picture in my mind. But she said she was a mouse on a glue board because she couldn't move. She couldn't get out of her chair. And unless somebody helped her, or she was in bed, and she would just lay there and pray. And she said that's what she knew God was calling her to do at the end of her life. And so she prayed for each of us and would take specific prayer requests. And she was such a godly example. And I remember sitting there on weekends when she had gotten out of the hospital or when she was still confined in her chair. And I would just sit there for hours with the fire going, and we would discuss the scriptures, and we would pray together. And if I saw her eyes starting to close and she'd fall asleep, I'd get up and she'd be like, "Where are you going? Sit back down. Let's talk about this passage." And just so full of life when she was in so much pain. And what an example that was to me.
She had such a crazy sense of humor. She was so much fun. And I think that's what made her so attractive, because her eyes sparkled even towards the end, as you know, when we would go in her room. She immediately threw out her arms to us. Her eyes were dancing. She would give a big smile and she would say, "Hello, how are you, darling?" And then she would welcome us into her room and want to know what we'd been doing. And even towards the last, when she couldn't even roll over in bed, she still had that joy and that sparkle and that response to us. And I know that all of that was flowing from her personal, intimate love relationship with Jesus.
I was thinking the same thing, because you can't be in the kind of pain that she was in. In fact, there was one night when my sister and I had to leave the next morning early, and we said, "Teta, we're going to have to go, and so we have to say goodbye to you now." And she said, "No." And she told us to make sure that we woke her up in the morning before we left so she could say goodbye. And so sure enough, the next morning we walked down the stairs and we knocked on her door real lightly because we didn't want to wake her up, and we peeked in. And we walked in and we said, "Teta," and she rolled over, and she just immediately, from a sound sleep, woke up with her eyes bright. She put her hands together with this huge smile and she said, "You did it. You woke me up." And she gave us a big hug. But that will never leave my mind. Her face, her expression when she woke up from a sound sleep to be that joyful in the morning when I know she was in so much pain. What a testimony for me going through different things to make sure that we always maintain that joy. And it comes from studying the Bible. That's what joy is. It's something you can't explain to anybody, because the Lord just gives you joy despite your circumstances. And I've seen him do that with me time and time again. And it's also something that flows onto my kids, that I can teach my kids when they're watching and they know what's going on a little bit and they can see that joy, then they learn to also reflect that as well.
You know, that's such a good point. Mother would say, she had these little quips, you know, and she would say that you can't teach your children to enjoy eating spinach if every time they see you eating yours, you gag. And so that we teach our children things by our example much more effectively than what we tell them.
It's so important for us to not keep what we've learned to ourselves. We've got to pass it on and be excited about God's word and share it with our kids, because they really are reflections of us. And we have to be that example, and we need to show them how thrilling it is to walk with Jesus daily. And that is what I see in my mom and I saw in Tete. And it's something I will never, ever let myself lose, that I want to continue that fire so that my kids and my grandkids would see that fire in my eyes.
One of the things that the Daniel Prayer teaches, and I'm glad that I knew about it maybe before I even studied the Daniel Prayer, but Daniel was reading his Bible.
Well, there's a lot more to the story of that Daniel Prayer, how to pray like Daniel, and how to be an effective change maker in your family. So many of these principles aren't just directed towards moms, but we do love their unique and special role and the power of prayer that so many moms have on behalf of the family, the community, the state, the country, and the world. So moms, keep praying, and we'll continue with this special broadcast hosted by Ann Graham Lotz and her daughter Rachel Ruth Wright on tomorrow, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, so if you missed a portion of it or the opening remarks, please stop by greatnewsradio.org and have a look around. And you can always access this program under our archived programs link. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.